This episode is brought to you by Sweaty Betty. We are happy to have them on board, making the show a possibility and keeping Robin in stretchy exercise pants all the time.
With a nice bum.
Oh, God. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are. Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say. Customs.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everybody.
It's so nice to be back. Welcome to our ovaries.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, you might have noticed. We have to go pop right into a news item. You might have noticed we are in the middle of a crazy, we're calling it a gorilla book giveaway. In and around New York City.
We're all over the place, dropping books.
Yeah, so you got to be paying attention to our social because we give a clue the night before. I think we got two more days of it. The clue the night before, and then the next day we give the book out. If you can meet us there, you get the book. If not, it's a stranger.
Yeah, and by all over the place, I basically mean we are wherever we go.
In and around our house. Because we're too lazy. I picked landmarks, and I'm getting around using the Revel scooter. I'm getting around using Revel. Hashtag Revel.
Be careful. Be careful.
I know. Listen, I'm a safe driver.
Okay.
I have a motorcycle driving license.
It's and not that, I it's drive not safely. Your driving I'm worried about. It's other people's driving.
Well, most of the people getting in trouble on the Revels are idiots. People drive those things like idiots.
No, I mean like the do you cars see, like, on
they
the
don't
road.
Wear the helmets. Oh, yeah. Listen, you ain't got to tell me about the cars on the road. I'm still like Nurse Ratched over here with my daughter.
Did you watch that show?
No, not yet.
Oh, we finished it. That was some dark.
You guys burned through some shows, man. We're in the middle of Chuck.
I don't know what that is.
Listen, I can't. Yvonne Strahovski, who plays Serena on Handmaids. And so I just transferred over to Chuck. And now my kids are loving it. And we're all watching it together. Oh, so it's cool. It's slow going.
Oh, yeah, because you have to watch it together. All right, let's get into this. Because we didn't come here to talk about TV shows we're watching.
I know,
we're
we didn't.
That boring.
Well.
we are still in a pandemic. There's not much to do. But we have to say a special thank you to our newest Patreon member. There's members.
Two members this week.
Let's see if we can do these names. Oh, this is easy. The first one is easy. Megan Germain. Thank you, Megan Germain. That you can't say that any other way, right?
You can't.
Megan German.
Megan German. No, it's Megan Germain.
Thank you, Megan.
And shout out to Megan. Unless she goes by Megan, but it's spelled like
she
Megan.
She could go. Thank you, Megan. What? Just cover.
Megan. Megan.
Thank you.
How about let's just call her Meg?
Hey,
how
Meg.
About Peg?
Hey.
Let's call her Peg. Thanks, Peg.
Also, Jessica Barrera. I had to
Jamie,
do it.
Jamie, don't you do that. When you have like a newscaster, you're like, and I am Jessica Barrera.
But that was
on
so,
the scene.
That was awful.
I know. Of course it was awful. We know I don't do accents.
I don't either. I hope that wasn't offensive, but I really wanted to, I really wanted to roll those R's in your name. Your name is
I cannot
cool.
roll
Jessica,
my R's.
I love your name. Barrera.
It's beautiful. I love
Barrera.
It.
Barrera.
I wonder if she goes by Jessie.
Jessie?
All right. Jessica. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jessica.
And thank you
and
so much.
Meg.
Yeah, and Meg. And Peg. It will come back to you. All right, not Fleetwood Mac, Steely Dan. We've got very exciting news on the Patreon front. We have decided that if you join at the gestational carrier level, so you're going to get all that bonus content that you normally get, like, you know, behind the scenes, extra content from each interview. But at the gestational carrier level, we do videos of most interviews, and we're now going to, and they're ad-free, unedited, so you're going to hear the whole interview. And then we're now putting them up one day early. So before the podcast drops on Monday, the at the gestational carrier level, you could get the video of the interview on Sunday through Patreon.
Which is,
boom.
That's a reason to join right there. I would join for that.
Because Jamie and I do shower for the videos.
And you'd see that.
Generally speaking.
You would see that Robin is wearing an Atari shirt right now. You would see that.
It's a great shirt.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, in the emergency room with my daughter, like leg broken, like people coming in, doing internal, it like they're like literally doing sonograms to make sure she's not bleeding. And they're about to run her for CAT scan. And there's this guy, this doctor who goes, yeah, I didn't want to say it earlier because there was like a lot of people in there, but that's like a really cool t-shirt. And I was like, have you lost your mind? Like literally my daughter's leg is going at a 90
degree
angle.
Oh, you didn't appreciate
like,
that? I would have been like, oh, thanks.
I just was like, I said thanks, but I was just like, maybe not now. Like, I don't know. Like, I was just kind of like, oh, it's another time.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway. Okay, so we didn't do a good job. We didn't want to ramble because we want to get into We didn't do a good job.
And then what did we do? Then we rambled.
Well, we want to get into this episode because this episode is a really interesting one.
I might call it controversial. Would I call it that?
It might be a bit controversial. I mean, it's the first episode.
For us, it is.
It's the first episode we actually submitted to our editor, and she wrote us an email regarding it saying, whoa. So that's a heads up for you guys. So our guest today is Adam Hooper, and he runs Sperm Donation Australia.
That's an online group where people can voluntarily join if they're looking for donors or if they want to donate sperm.
Right.
And we'll get into like how he started it. But I think Jamie and I, just before we get into this interview, want to be really clear, like really, really, really clear that we are not endorsing this path. I mean, Jamie will have more to say. I want to say the side first for me. Let me say it in my words. I am not endorsing this path. I think that it's important for our listeners to hear from somebody like this because we know Tiff and Carissa who went down this path before their doctor said, don't do that. And we were like, I think that this should be in the body of our work so that people can listen to it and decide what the group is about and how it's being run and see if it's something they want to be a part of. But like, that's why I wanted to do the episode, because I felt like it was important that we have it. But I have to say I'm not endorsing it. You know how I feel about the legality.
Yes, Robin is always about legality. And I'm not saying I'm endorsing this route either.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying you were. I was just saying I only wanted to speak for myself there.
And so from my, it's a very interesting interview. This group is basically like a choose your own adventure for how you want to get your sperm. And there are so many different ways to go about it, which is very interesting. It's not for me, but it might be for some of you out there. So we are not judging this path either.
No.
We want you to come at this with a grain of salt, and we don't want people to their takeaway from this.
Just one grain of salt?
Yeah. We don't want people's takeaway from this to think, oh my God, Jamie and Robin want us to go out and do and buy.
Go rogue.
We wanted to put this episode out there, like Robin said, just to show all aspects of how our families can be made. And this could be a very viable path for some folks out there.
Yes. And I just say, if you are going to go that route, then just make sure, like, just know that there's no legal protection around it. And you have to put everything in place that makes you and your family feel secure. So you'll need to vet the donors, and you'll need to put together any paperwork. It will all be on you. That was the gist that I took away from the interview. And I can't in good conscience not say, like, make sure you're doing that if you go down this path.
Right.
I mean, just the mother in me is like, just be careful, for God's sake.
This is also in Australia, so I don't know if people in...
Well, but he did mention he has intentions that he wants to bring this to the U.S. and he wants, because he said there's a lot of like, it's like rogue in the U.S. and he wants to like, and he seemed like he's really putting a lot of things in place for safety, but...
He's a very nice guy. It was a very nice conversation. We're excited for you guys to hear it. But just like with every episode we air, we're not endorsing anything. We don't...
correct.
Even the path I took, I'm not endorsing that for anyone else. We're just here to tell stories.
Yep.
And this is one of the stories.
Yeah, give you some information, let you make your own mind up.
Yeah. So let's get to it. You guys are going to enjoy this one.
Helen, bring him in!
Helen!
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to our ovaries.
Welcome to our ovaries.
Welcome to my testes.
Oh, there.
We have some testes.
All right. Wow.
Okay. So, Adam, you have to tell us. I think people might know already where you're coming from.
Good day, mate.
There it is. He's coming from Australia, which I can't tell New Zealand from Australia. I never want to say, you must be from Australia, because I don't want to say the wrong.
So if you're wondering if you're speaking to an Australian or a New Zealander, you ask them if it's 6 o'clock, you ask them what the time is, and they'll go, it's 6 o'clock.
Oh. Sucks.
Or you'd go, say, do you like fish and chips? And they'll go, yes, I like fish and chops.
Interesting.
So it's a dead giveaway. And
the is sound is actually ah. Oh. There's your phonetics. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm never letting go of that.
Not mine.
New Zealanders. I love it. So, you know, we started us off with your testes. We need to know more about this.
About your testes.
Let's get started where we always get started, with our 30-second elevator pitch. We need to know who you are.
Are you ready, Adam Hooper?
All right, I'm ready. Okay. Let's go.
On your mark, get set, go.
All right. Hey, everyone. I'm Adam Hooper. Look, I was looking at becoming a sperm donor 6 years ago, yeah, end of 2014. And it just, I had two lovely daughters myself at that time. And I just thought, well, I'd like to share the cuteness around. No, really. No, I had good genes and my parents lived to, or grandparents and everyone else lived to around 90 years on average. So I thought, you know, it's something to share. And I've just gone over 30 seconds. But long story short, I didn't feel comfortable about donating at clinics because I wanted to be on a more personal level of actually, you know, having a bit of a laugh and like what we're doing now and, you know, and then helping that a good person have a kid rather than go to a person on a piece of paper or whoever the clinics give it to. So, yeah, that's me. And then from there onwards, I went and created my own community.
Boom. Okay. There we go. All right.
I mean, you went a little over, Adam, not going to lie, but that's okay.
I mean, look, is that...
the Jamie's time-shaming you. I love it.
I know.
It's usually me too, though, so if that makes you feel better.
But here's my disclaimer for you, Adam. You have a lot to get in that 30 seconds.
You do.
So it's okay.
I know.
Well, let's say this. You emailed us, which I thought was really amazing, and we read your email, and Jamie and I were like, oh my God, we've got to talk to this guy, yes. Because you have this thing called Sperm Donation World. Is that right?
Yeah, well, look, I created Sperm Donation Australia originally.
Tell people what Sperm Donation Australia was or is.
Yeah, so basically going on from my 54 seconds in my 30-second limit, I created Sperm Donation Australia because, so obviously I went through the clinic, looked at that, realised it was very impersonal, and I wanted to make it a bit more personal. I looked at donating on websites and stuff back then, and Facebook was coming up. But what I found was there was a lot of shady men. They were in it for the wrong reasons, trying to manipulate women or same-sex couples into, you know, threesomes or sex and stuff like that. And I thought, well, you know, look, I don't feel comfortable donating to a clinic, but I don't feel comfortable being associated with men like this. And so I decided to create my own little group from there because men were joining, some good men were joining and they were instantly leaving. And I'd message them and say, hey, how come you're leaving? And they would say, oh, well, you know, we don't really want to be associated with, you know, the garbage, you know what I mean, the trash. So that's why I decided to create my own group. Every man got screened. We looked at their profile. We'll see the family interaction, you know what I mean, like, if you know, a sense of love. And from there, we started building a good database of men that were starting to come through and men that were happy to be part of the community because other men weren't tarnishing it.
Can I interrupt you for one sec, Adam, and ask how did you know that the men in the first group were garbage? Like, what gave that away for you?
Well, you know, when I first started, obviously I had a lot of questions myself, and I spoke to a lot of potential women that wanting to go down this avenue, and you'd find out, yeah, the experiences that they were experiencing previously, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't great.
So you didn't set out to create this group. You were
I went out to say, oh, if I could go and help a couple of families, that would be great. And I'd move on and live my life like it never even happened. And then yeah. I've got myself caught into it. And, but I mean, look, it's been a real pleasure. I mean, I've met some lovely people and so I never really knew, my half brother is gay, but I never really had anything to do with the lesbian community or anything like that. And now it seems like every... Yeah, so yeah, I'm a lesbian's best friend now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you before we really dive into, because we are going to dive into
we
your
have a
group
lot of questions.
And all of that. But before that, I want to ask you about your family. So I didn't know if you were, what your sexual orientation was before you just said that. So I'm assuming you're not a lesbian. But how did you create your family?
Yeah, the boring way.
There's no boring way, Adam.
No. I got married, had my first child when I was 26, and the second one a couple of years after that. I don't know. Like, I think if I had my time again, I mean, I'll never regret having my children. But if I came across this community earlier, it would have been, I don't know, I would have been fulfilled having children this way. Mm. You know, I get to meet the families, like, you know, I'm not playing an uncle role in any situation, but, you know, we catch up for a drink or a lunch or something like that. You know,
I don't, for our listeners, and I don't know how the donations work in Australia. Like, we know we've talked to someone from the US, we've talked to someone from England, but like, how does it work on a national level legally, like donations?
If you donate artificially or for a clinic or at home, that means, you know, donating in the cup either way, and if it goes for a clinic, they normally freeze it and and spin the sperm and take semen from it and all that sort of stuff. But if you do it, we were based on the same law. It's the Family Law Act 1978, 60H. There's no discrimination between the clinic and at-home insemination. So the laws in Australia, it's a bit funny because we decide that we're not going to pay our donors over here to donate at a clinic, so it's going to be completely altruistic.
Oh.
And so they do struggle to get the men to come in that way. Huh. I think I've read stats in America that 80% of the men that do it is for financial motivation reasons, you know, collecting that money, which, you know, you might get some great specimen guys and that, but then, you know, psychological wise for their children, for your children or, you know, anyone having children that way, you know, they may feel a bit neglected and a bit disheartened when they turn 18 and try and reach out and contact them and get told to piss off. So
it's not open. If you went through a clinic in that's like sponsored through the government, it's not open. They wouldn't be able to meet their donor.
There's a letter that goes out to the child when they're 18 saying you can do it. And I think there's some clinics these days that say if you're happy and the donor's happy, we can try and set you up earlier, but not all clinics are doing that. I think that's just a voluntary sort of thing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have to say, it never really scared me that my donor that we chose for our kids was an anonymous donor and that there's the chance that he could say at 18 that he doesn't want to be contacted by them. It was never really a fear for me. And I think it's because, and this is what comes up in our podcast a lot, the way we parent our kids, because we put so much thought into how we make them, the way we parent them is also super thought out, and we're covering this their whole lives and preparing them for this their whole lives. And I never, like, this is the first time you put a little spark of some kind of feeling in me, Adam, so I'm not sure.
Well, look, I don't want to spark fear into your eyes. When I started this, I wanted to help in a way that I didn't want these children to be born and turn around to me and say, why did you make me? Like, why my life's been miserable? I've been, you know, feeling like shit my whole life. So I did a considerable amount of insight and study to other Facebook groups and forums and stuff like that, trying to speak to some adult donor conceived people as well to get a feeling of their sense of identity, and particularly from heterosexual couples that weren't told. They were issues of feeling worse, because obviously they say before the age of 7 and 8, a child can process something in a positive way, whereas when they find out, like, later, oh shit, donor conceived, then it, you know, their whole world is turned around. Like, it's like Jim Carrey on the Truman Show.
When you're told a lie your whole life, it's really hard to come to a reckoning.
Mm. A lie of omission, right?
Right. And that's, and we talk about that a lot. The disclosure is, you know, how you talk to your kids about their conception story is really important, especially for donor conceived children.
I think something just as simple as a photo of the donor just gets it out, you know, because they just go, all right, I've seen him now. I know I got my awful nose from him. but, you know, like, they go, all right, there's no manifestation in their head over the years that builds up to the point of, like, where they're starting to dying to know, because they know, you know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah, I had a donor, big deal, you know what I mean? And I think also for me, it's like if something happened to me, because, I mean, a lot of donors in the USA, they donate in their, you know, college years as well. So a lot of people haven't had any medical.
Yeah, the medical history hasn't happened yet. That's what we like to say.
It hasn't happened yet. And for me, you know, if I came down with something tomorrow, I can pass out that information straight away to everyone, hopefully before I cark it. just to let them know that keep an eye out or get your child tested for this or that, whatever, you know. So obviously when you're a donor and you're doing it for the best interest, you want these children to live long, longevity lives. And if you can point them in the right direction of something that might prevent something or something to keep an eye out, you know, you want to do it.
It seems like you're being, in your donation, you're being as thoughtful as we have to be in our families and in this community you are creating. I want, just so that people have context of all of your thoughtfulness, can you give an overview of what the community is? Like, it's Facebook, it's you join this way. Like, can you just talk a little bit about that?
Like, if I wanted to find myself a Australian donor and I knew of your group, what do I do?
So you'd come in and you'd click request to join. There's a couple of questions saying what you're looking for and your reasons for joining and stuff like that. So we get about 30 to 40 people joining per day now. So it's quite a strenuous task looking through each person's wow. Facebook. But Facebook has a good platform. It tells you when the account was created. So if it was created 10 years ago, you go, okay, it's a good chance it's genuine. You start looking through it. You'll see photos of families and friends and stuff like that, and you work it out what they're about. And then obviously for women recipients, it's a little bit more easier to get accepted into the group. If you had a brand new account that you wanted to make and join, you'll be asked to just, you know, send a selfie up on a piece of paper saying, hey, Adam, and the time and stuff like that, just to prove that you're a real person behind a computer, not some guy trying to get in and scam.
Has that happened? To have people try to scam you or try to get in?
Oh, look, you know, sometimes a person might get removed for being inappropriate or something like that, you know, saying something that's not quite terminology or being non-reliable and not rocking up to inseminations and stuff like that. So they would get removed, and then obviously they might want to try and rejoin again, so they'll probably try and make a new account.
So I get in, I do my questionnaire.
So if you get accepted, you'll get you'll receive a document that says you know, your recipient information guide, and it'll sort of start giving you like how we roll and what we're about, how you fit in, where to go, your first steps and getting started, and your conditions for posting. So you got to post what methods that you're open to. And if, say, if you're in the same-sex couple and you only want to do artificial insemination, you'll write that. So if someone messages you saying, oh, I want to do natural insemination,
wait a minute, natural insemination as in like that, doing it? There are people that in the group that do that?
Yeah.
My voice just went so high up an octave there.
Yeah, well, we got single women. And before that, I mean, if you even look back when women wanted to be single and have a baby, they used to just go to a pub and get knocked up when they were ovulating. And then, oh, I mean, I came across a story where this lady goes, oh, thank God I found out about your group. I was doing Russian roulette on Tinder. And she goes, and I got this guy over and he insisted on using the condom. And then when he left,
she took the condom.
No.
The inside. Oh,
no.
And I was just
that's so unethical.
And I'm just like, well, there's so many wrong things there, you know, like STDs. And so I think, you know, this way it's set up, it's a lot more safer. There's consenting donors, people getting their tests done.
But then there are people who aren't doing that too, though. There are people who are just like sperm in a cup and then turkey baster method. So it's not just like people doing it the natural way. There's both, right?
No. Well, the majority of people do it in a cup.
Okay.
Robin.
Yeah.
You're wearing them again.
Yeah. My sweaty Betty power leggings. Of course I am. I love these high-waisted performers, Jamie, and you know it and I know it.
Oh, I love them too, but you are not supposed to wear the same pair all day, every day.
Why not?
I mean, I would like, you're just, it's gross. I mean, maybe you should just buy a couple more pairs to air them out a bit. Just wash them.
Maybe I will, Jamie. That's a good idea. Oh, come on. You know I've got 7 pairs of the same ones. Because no other athletic brand can compete with the Sweaty Betty Power Leggings. Excuse me. They are expertly placed seams and squat-tested compression fabric that physically gives your butt like an instant peach emoji face. I'm saying it.
I can't.
Come on.
Yes.
My butt looks good.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it is also true that for over 20 years, Sweaty Betty's 5-star rated power leggings have helped women crush their workouts. That is true.
Listen, Jamie, I love these things and I don't care what you say. They're quick drying and there's like this amazing pocket. And I mean, look at my ass,
oh my
Jamie.
God,
don't look at it. Don't look at it. Don't look at it.
You look nice. Okay.
Listen, you cannot get around it. The Sweaty Betty power leggings, it's opaque fabric. It's adjustable drawstring waist and back and side pockets that make staying active look sexy as hell, Jamie, from head to toe. Be like me. Wear them all the time. Take their quiz at sweatybetty.com to find your perfect style and choose from a wide selection of strategically cut patterns.
Okay, I too actually really do love Sweaty Betty because they feel good when I wear them. They're not too tight. They're not too hot. You know, like I don't get too sweaty. Just right. We both.
And they don't roll down when you bend over with your little chub.
They don't.
What?
Who said chub?
Sorry.
Anyway,
I didn't.
But listen, we both wear Sweaty Betty and you at home should too.
Yes. From London to LA, over 500,000 happy bums count on Sweaty Betty to help them look and feel incredible.
They do. And now through November 1st, you can get 20% off your entire purchase
when you visit sweatybetty.com/OCT and enter code OCT at checkout. This is the best offer Sweaty Betty has available anywhere, guys.
Because, guys, you deserve to look amazing and your butt before, during, and after your workout. Get 20% off. That is insane. Your entire purchase at sweatybetty.com/OCT.
This is available only until November 1st, guys. It's spelled SweatyBetty.com/OCT. And you enter the code OCT at checkout. Get that 20%.
For your butt.
Get that booty.
After a person comes in, they get paperwork where they declare how they want to go about it and that people can get in touch with like-minded people. That's the next step?
Yeah, so you do a post. It's all about, you know, obviously picking someone that you're comfortable with and then obviously the donor being comfortable with as well. And yeah, so then if you have a matching, you know, you're a match, then you start, you know, well, you know, when was your last SCT test done? And then you start working out the logistics of, you know, do we meet at a hotel? Are we comfortable just coming to their house or vice versa or whatever, you know what I mean? So it comes down to...
But at this point, you have nothing to do with it. You're only creating the platform for the people to communicate with one another. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I created the platform and we have that in place of anything that doesn't seem normal or doesn't seem right, that they can contact me instantly and say, hey, Adam, this doesn't seem right. Is this right protocol? And then depending on the seriousness of it or, you know, we sort that out right then and there. And then, yeah, we stamp out any, because, you know, obviously I've got high standards myself. And so, yeah, when I do want my donors to also want to, you know, represent us well, because I feel that that's my reputation as well. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Running a community. And if you're in my community, you sort of represent my values in a sense of, you know, I made this with my vision of how I would like it done, and I wouldn't want anyone tarnishing that.
Right, of course. So let's say, okay, I get in, I'm in the group, I have put a post up saying I would like to do artificial insemination. I don't want to, you know, do the deed with a stranger, but I do want the juice. Right?
Well, I mean, if you just write artificial insemination, I think everyone gets the...
Okay, leave the juice. You don't know me that well, Adam, but I might add too much stuff into my post, but that's just me. So then do I start getting like DMs from potential donors saying, I heard what you had to say. I think I might be a right match for you. Or how does that work?
Yeah. So you might say, oh, I'm in Sydney, and they might say, well, I'm only 20 minutes from Sydney or something like that. You know what I mean? And then obviously... If you haven't got photos on your profile or whatever, then they'll, you know, ask to see them and exchange. And then you'd find a bit about of like, oh, no, what do you want? For instance, they might say, oh, you know, give me a photo every three or four months, or I would like a yearly visit, you know. And then these
the donor would say this to you, or and vice versa?
No. Vice versa. I mean, everyone's got different wants and needs these days. Like we're finding now there's a lot of single women joining and a lot of single men that never had children because they're working around the globe. You know, I mean, the world's right. Just so hectic mm-hmm. these days. So some people go, oh, look, I'm happy to be an uncle figure. And some women are like, well, I'm happy to have a male role model as well. So there's lots of things to discuss, but some people can say co-parenting, which is starting to really pick up a bit now. But in terms of obviously a same-sex couple, you know, they've got the idea of it's their family, you know, they want to raise the child as, you know, as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they sort of say, well, we might agree when the child's old enough to ask, if they ask for you, would you be happy to meet them then? You know yeah. what I mean? Like there's
so
know,
each couple is essentially setting up what their boundaries are for what they want. There's no yes. guides or it's like individuals. So you can find exactly what you want in terms of a donor.
Yeah, it's negotiable. Yeah, it's negotiable.
I think it's just really interesting. We talk about non-traditional families all the time on our podcast, but from an LGBTQ standpoint mainly. This is non-traditional families.
Times five.
I mean, this is like, I'm making a big world with my arms. You can't see that at home, but like, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but this is
it's times five. It's like next scale. It's because I assume even within this, you're talking about some families that may even co-parent and things like that.
That didn't even know each other.
Yeah. And then they create these little families. So mm-hmm. it's interesting.
It's evolving into a way where it's going to be a normality where you go, you won't even blink twice at it.
Right.
Like, and it's coming. Like, because mm-hmm. I've just seen the progression, 2020, there's 8,300, 400 people in the group now.
Wow.
And there's a lot of women that come in, have their baby, and then they rejoin a couple of years later and go, oh, hey, I'm just rejoining again to look for a donor. And you can see little baby photos in their profile. They've had a baby from the group, but obviously once they've had that child, they've moved on, and then they decide to come back. So the turnover is not just 8,400 people in the group. You know, there's been probably over 20,000-25,000 people that have come and gone, mm-hmm. whether or not they've had their family or not.
Yeah.
But a lot of them have. And, yeah, it's just amazing seeing something so different that is considered non-traditional
mm-hmm.
evolving like this.
Right.
And to be part of my vision, you know, I never really thought of it like that. I just wanted to make a good, safe, standard community. It feels good that I've set something that people feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, I can see how this could be appealing to many people, and single people especially. That's a whole demographic of people that we don't even talk about that much on the podcast, but that's I can see how that can be really appealing. And can I ask how many LGBTQ couples do you have, like a percentage?
When I first started, it was majority, probably 90% same-sex couples, women looking for donors. We had a lady a couple of years ago in Australia who was 41, tried at the clinic, didn't work, came on here, got pregnant first go, had a baby, showcased it all on Australian media, and it just inspired single women by choice to jump on board and follow her down this path. And then now I'd say it's probably from 90% of same-sex women using it to maybe 40, 60 now, like it's balanced up. But in saying that, the amount of same-sex couples hasn't deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the amount of single women choosing to have a baby, being a solo mother by choice, is they can see that it's done, it can be done. It's everyone's can join, everyone can do it, and yeah, it's so diverse. It's amazing.
I ask you about, you mentioned a little bit really quickly about STDs or things like testing and things like that. Like, how do you feel in terms of like the liability of the group? Like, are there requirements or suggestions of like testing of like, does money change hands? Like all that kind of the legality and the logistics.
In Australia, STD testing is bulk billed by the government through our Medicare system. So it's free.
Mm-hmm.
So a donor doesn't have to go and pay out of his own pocket to go do it. So people are more inclined to go get tested. You know, so you're going to help someone and they say, oh, when you get tested the week before, the donor will go out and get tested the week before. And then providing his results come back, you know, negative, they'll proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously people got to work that out between themselves.
Right.
But, you know, of like how thoroughly they want their donor to get tested.
Uh-huh.
But look, in saying that, you know, I created the group in June 2015 and we have never had an STD in that time in, you know, 5 years now. So the people that I've developed to join my group have got that that sense of, you know, personal liability and responsibility to go and get that testing done and make sure.
But so, the personal responsibility lies on the person in the group. Like they have to go into your group. I mean, I think I just want to make this point for our listeners. Like if you're going to go about this route, you have to make sure that you are doing all the things necessary to protect yourself from testing, to any legal paperwork or anything that you might need to feel comfortable. Because it's like, it is outside of like any bureaucratic control. It's a voluntary group. So it's like, it's all on you to make sure. I mean, it sounds like you're doing a really good job of vetting, but as a user.
I mean, look, you look at it. I mean, in the general population, sex is normal. You know, people going out to clubs and pubs and having sex on the weekends with strangers all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you're an adult. You know what I mean? You're responsible for your body.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to take your responsibility measures and make logical adult decisions, you know? Yeah.
It's funny because Robin loves to say that this family just did a handshake deal, you know, and didn't get the legal paperwork. That's Robin's favorite saying. Oh, they just did it with a handshake, just a handshake. And it makes Robin very nervous because Robin's not the type of person to just have a handshake deal and no legal paperwork in place.
But everybody's different. And we do acknowledge that it runs the gamut. And if you're comfortable with this, and if you have your wits about you, then this could be a really viable path for many families.
Absolutely. It reminds me a little of Nini in an earlier episode, and they were creating, she partnered with two gay men to create, but it ended up in litigation. Now, listen, we only know her side of the story, and I'm not getting involved in any of that jazz, but I just want to be clear. I'm not like taking sides or anything, but her thought process was that they really just wanted the baby and were the sort of using time. Her the whole time. And that was their intention. And it's like, I don't know who's to say that maybe if they had just been able to like do it in a group like this, that would not have happened.
And be completely upfront and what everybody wanted.
But then on the other side of the coin, who's to say that when you don't know people, sometimes like people show themselves differently. I don't know. That would be my concern. Like a year later, when you know someone, you know them a lot better. And it's like, oh, geez, I made a baby with this person. It's just like, I can see really
it's like,
both sides.
It's like when you start a podcast with somebody and you don't barely know. Co-host. And then you're like,
And then suddenly you're writing a book together. And then you're like, what?
Look, I think it's a different story. Look, gay men, they've got a really tough side of the coin because they have to rely on surrogacy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, for men and donors, it's easy to just go, yeah, have some sperm,
It's different.
It's really quick to do. And for a woman to firstly extract her eggs, and then not want to carry that baby, but then you have to find those eggs and then get a surrogate. It's mm-hmm. a whole different jigsaw piece to put together.
Yes.
But if these men I didn't know the story about your previous guest, but if they went on and donated to other couples as well, there'd be less emphasis on that one particular child, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. For that family. To me, it just sounds like it was a private arrangement where they didn't have the whole expansive horizon of the capabilities of we can get a fulfillment by having three or four families we help, and we see one each weekend, so we might see them once a month, mm-hmm. but each week they get to see a child. There's so much versatility now for gay men to at least be an uncle figure in a handful of families' lives. And many of them have said to me, hey, Adam, this is bloody great. Mm-hmm. This is all we need. Whereas I think with this private arrangement that you're explaining, they think that's their only chance or only shot of, having anything to do with something that's genetically theirs.
Right. And and if you're a gay male couple who really does want a baby just for your own, like us lesbian couples do, then maybe this isn't the right service for you. But what you're saying is the sky's the limit here for what kind of a family you can create. You just have to get creative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just amazing the type of people that you come across, and everyone's got a different thought pattern and what they like. And I hate stories like that where people get tricked into put into something that you didn't agree upon. And just the way, the thought process of me setting up this community and explaining that there's so much diverse opportunities, that if you're feeling some attachment, you can go out and create another family that is willing to give you that more attachment.
Speaking mm-hmm. of Adam, the question that we have not asked you is,
I know.
Are you comfortable at answering this? How many people have you donated to?
I've donated to a few, but not all of them over work. So, look, I've helped over 15 couples, 15 families, mm-hmm. but that's over the space of 6 years since 2014. So I'm not really a person that is trying to donate by numbers. It's more about connection mm-hmm. and feeling like we're the right. So, I mean, obviously when you're running a community, I was quite happy to help three or four or five couples or five families.
Well, started this community because you wanted to donate to a family. That's why this all started, correct?
Yeah. And, I would have quite happy to have walked away after doing that if there was something like this in place to begin with. But unfortunately, I've been caught into running it on an everyday basis.
You're the chosen one, Adam. You're the chosen one. It's you. You have to create this, right? Yeah.
Well, no, I feel like I've, just what I've achieved and where it's going, I feel good every day waking up doing what I do. Mm-hmm. Not so much creating, me creating a family with someone is a unique bond with, that person, that same-sex couple or that single mother by choice. But people having their own children through other donors and having a good experience is just as warming feeling for me now than it is me personally doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So among all the families that you've donated to, do you all have kind of the same terms that you've agreed to, or is it every family is a little bit different?
Yeah, everyone's different. Look, I say to them, look, I don't want to be a third wheel to your relationship. You know, like, I don't feel
coming
like
over for dinner on Friday. Yeah. I like burgers.
Yeah, I'm doing it for the free meals, everyone. Yeah. No, I haven't paid for food since 2015.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, for me, you know, every person's different. You know, I can't have everyone that is a chatter wanting to chat every day. Otherwise, I wouldn't have enough of me to reply back and chat every day, you know what I mean? So, you know, so for me, I don't push any boundaries on anyone, but I love hearing updates, you know what I mean? Someone comes and says, hey, my kid took their first dips today. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow, you know, or they send you a video of it happening. And then it's just like, you know, like, it's just nice. It's considerate that they thought of you mm-hmm. to send that through, part of that, you know, obviously within their, you know, they're proud of their own little child within their family. You know, for me, hearing a lot about the personality traits and finding similarities and, you know, a lot of them had this real caring nature for animals. And I think, oh, that's really, it's interesting because obviously I'm doing this for the caring of human beings, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's that altruistic, you know, that mentality of, you know, like having a heart and, you know, I don't know. So for me, it sort of resonates in that way. And just hearing that, you know, like getting pictures of them drawing and they're 2 years old and they're drawing better than what I can now, yeah. Like, you go, well, that didn't come from me, right. But like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So no, like for a donor as well from afar, there's, you know, there's a lot of feel good moments as well where, you know, you obviously you're not living there every day, but when you see those little updates and milestones, you know, it brings a smile to your face.
Do you think about what it's going to be like in 12 to 15 years when 15 kids are knocking on your door and saying hi, or do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I've seen, well, if you YouTube it, there's a lot of donor sibling meets out there mm-hmm. and it's interesting, not so much for the donor because I think they think he's too old and not cool anymore, but they see all the, they see all the siblings.
Yeah, it does seem like they're more connected to the siblings. It does seem that way.
Yeah, it does. Thing. And
is there any registry associated with your group? Like, can people be connected? Could all of your donors somehow find one another so they could have a sibling group?
All the ones you donated to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's totally the thing. And that's why I was more comfortable doing it this way. Having my own two daughters, I didn't want any of them ever risking the chance of incest. But everyone I've helped is there. I've got a register. A lot of the mums at the moment are saying, you know, we're happy to just raise our babies as babies. And then when they get older and they want to start playing with kids and that and ask the questions, and they're more open to, you know, letting them meet and stuff like that.
Right.
It's not me saying, oh, your kid will sign up to boot camp and they'll all be there.
Like, right.
So, there's no missing children this way. I think, you know, with the clinics, there's always missing children. And I think sometimes the psychological element is they wonder how many more are out there, or when they walk into the street and they go, oh, that person's got similar features to me. There's a few unaccountable. Could that potentially be my sibling?
Oh, you mean because people are not.
Because it's self-reported,
right?
In the US.
No. Well, at clinics anyway. Like, there's, I think you got the donor sibling registry there where people try and connect and they use a donor ID and stuff like that.
But it's self-reported. You don't have to. Like, if we didn't want to like go on our cryobank, we didn't have to. And there could be some people who haven't.
And there's a lot of heterosexual couples that where the male infertility stigma is they don't want to tell their friends and family that the child isn't biologically theirs. The child will never find out unless they do a 23andMe DNA test or something like that, you know, and that's when they get shocked. And and that's when incest does happen because a child for a same-sex couple will go, hey, I'm donor conceived. And they'll go, I'm donor conceived too. So, oh, hang on. And then they'll check if we're related. Whereas someone doesn't know they're donor conceived, that's when those sort of stories happen.
You know? you would hope that the parents of that kid, when they found out that the kid was dating someone from a same-sex couple, would be like, wait a second.
Yeah, one
we
would
have to tell you something.
One would hope.
Because there's a good chance that kid's donor conceived,
too. One of my kid's donor siblings, we were living a block and a half from each other for 2 years. And we found each other through the board. So it's like, I mean, and we each used a bank that's across the country. So it's like, it could happen. I mean, I've never heard of an instance of it happening, of a sibling meeting in that way, but it could happen, I guess.
So do you talk to your daughters about your donating?
Yeah, so they know. And I've told them ever since they were too young to understand. So there was this donor child she looks just like my youngest daughter. Oh. Right. And there's a picture of her at the zoo. Uh-huh. And I'll show the oldest one going, hey, check this out. And she'll be like, oh, you took her to the zoo and not me. Wow. Thinking I took her sister to the zoo. Yeah, and I was like, yeah. No, silly, that's one of your siblings or half siblings, yeah, right, or, right. So, no, I've had a little bit of fun with them along the way.
But they know all about it and you're open.
Yeah.
The oldest one's 9 and the youngest one now is 6. And, yeah, they know. But I think their understanding of family, and I think that's what it really comes down to. When you have your own children and you raise them in your unit, you see them as your children, and any siblings that you have, you see them as siblings. Whereas my children don't understand that they're sisters or brothers because they're not living with us. Uh-huh. And that's what they say when siblings or half siblings meet, or diblings, which is a term that people like to use now and stuff as well.
Donor siblings.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. Some of the older generations they think it's a bit demeaning, but I think now, obviously, with mothers bringing it up, is that, you know, it's the future generations won't have any issues in those terminology. Right. Mm-hmm. So sorry for anyone don't conceive that's a bit offended by that word. But look, it's the way things are changing, and that's what it's going to be. You know, there'll be a definition in the dictionary, you know, another 10, 15 years, I can assure you now from it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they say that half siblings, you know, they have like a cousin type relationship, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So, and I've had people before going, oh, well, you know, if you helped 15 families, how do they all become friends? And I'm like, well, sometimes people have 2 or 3 brothers or sisters and they only like 1 or 2 of them. And they,
right. like, yeah, it's true. It's really true.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be, not everyone's friends with their brothers and sisters. But if you've got 15 of them, there's a good chance you might have 2 or 3 that are really good friends of yours.
Well, I mean, it just, there's so much to think about with this, with like what you've set up. But I'm so glad you reached out, because we have talked to a lot of people who are going about creating their own things and doing these groups. But what I like about what you're doing is that you are trying to vet people. You are trying to create a space that has safety and some regulations, but yet still allows people to make their own choices and do what they want to do. And, you know, that's always my perspective is always like the safety of our guests and people wanting what they're going after, and just being like, just think everything through. And it seems like you're trying to be a part of that. And I appreciate that. And I think it does, like Jamie said, offer like another viable path for folks.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different. I've stumbled across this in a weird way, a unique way, but I have no regrets. It's given me so much joy in my life just to see how many smiles I've been able to put on people's faces all across Australia. And then I hope to do that, you know, across the globe as well eventually. Yeah. Just, you know, provide those choices and options for people to do something that suits them and have a family their way.
I love that you're just upfront and transparent, and that transparency is key in all of this. And I think that you're on the same page as we are completely on parenting and family making and family building. You have to be completely transparent. It seems like your site is doing its best to be completely transparent with everyone involved. And then when it comes to the parenting and rearing of these kids and the donors, it's all about transparency. And I really appreciate that. And I do think that's super important. Yeah. Super important.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for you guys to get me with the hard questions. for me, it was always about how would I feel if I was the recipient, or how would I feel if I was the donor child? And you know what I mean? Like, you always try and think, how would I feel? And if you can put your feet in other person's shoes, you can sort of get an idea of like how to try and do it in a way that everyone, you know, feels at ease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's been really wonderful.
Yeah. And we wish you all the best of luck with everything.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it's my pleasure to come on and speak to you today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
That was nerve-wracking for me. Parts of that are nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah. It was an interesting conversation.
You could have knocked me over with a feather, which is not easy. I'm a big boned gal, but when he said that people were getting together and actually doing it,
that I wasn't expecting that
threw me. I did not see that coming.
I wasn't expecting this. It's more than just like I said, it's like a choose your own adventure. I don't even know what
it's
to
like
say.
Tinder
for baby banking.
Yeah, is what I think. But it's just You just got to be bundled up, people. That's the mother of me is going to say it again. I said it at the top. I'm saying it again. You just got to be bundled up because you know.
If this is a path that you might think of doing, you really, really, really need to think long and hard about it, I think.
Yep. And you know what? Get some advice from professionals, which is not Jamie and I. Like ask your doctor. Ask what kind of testing you should have the person do. Ask, you know, because he brought up STDs and that didn't even occur to me either. I was like, STDs? I was like, oh God. And then I couldn't tell if it was because of the sex he was saying that or if because it could be something that was transferred. But I was like, wow, okay, that's like, so just go to at least your general practitioner and ask questions.
I didn't know that there were people out there who were open to the idea of just meeting for a night to make a baby. Like I had never even heard, that never crossed my mind.
Don't you imagine that's probably applies more to like the straight folks than us? I mean, I feel like
imagine.
What do I know? But
I don't know, but that was an interesting convo.
Listen, and it exists. It's out there, and it's another path to parenthood for LGBTQ folks. And so we just, I don't know. We're just showing people.
Even with how different this path is, it's still, once again, people being very intentional with
inventive and creative, right. I would even say.
There's that. The Donor Conception Network is going to have to create some more scenarios in those books for kids. Anyway, okay.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so our book is out now, guys. If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. It's available at all major retailers. It's on Kindle, print, hardcover, and an audiobook should be coming any day if it's not already out.
As soon as the man over at Amazon approves it.
Yes, it'll be there and it's read by us, which is so fun.
Speaking of Amazon, please go on Amazon or Goodreads or both and rate and review the book because that really helps us get the book out. It surfaces it. In more searches.
Yes.
Algorithms are our lives.
Yep, yep, yep. Also, we are starting some partnerships to offer our listeners discounts, and it's only companies that we truly believe in. One of them is Mira. They make a fabulous ovulation and fertility tracker, and you can get $25 off the starter kit. You just go to ovariestalk.com to get the discount. And then we also are offering a 10% off your first month of online therapy with BetterHelp, which who doesn't need help right now?
Oh my God, I need help.
So and just we love go BetterHelp. To ovariestalk.com and you'll see the discounts. Do it.
And guys, let's just keep this conversation going. You can join us on social. I'd be particularly interested in any feedback folks had on today's interview. You can email us at ovariestalk@gmail.com or on social. We're ovariestalk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We just switched our Facebook. So now it's at ovariestalk. Isn't that exciting? On Facebook, there's a community within there that you can join that's just listeners. And you can also support the podcast, which is meaningful to us because, you know, we're still paying out of pocket. You can join our community at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And you're not going to just be supporting us, but you're going to get bonus content and at the gestational carrier level, the video interview the day before the episode drops.
The day before.
And you can subscribe to us on YouTube and see our live streams there in case you miss it. And those are at Facebook at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday.
If you want to catch them live, they're the best when they're live because then you can.
Yeah, because you get to chat with us.
You can chat with us. You can ask us questions or tell us we're being silly or I almost said stupid, but I don't like to say that word. So, but anywho.
I'm like, why? Sometimes we're stupid.
I think it's an ugly word. I don't like using really ugly,
interesting.
Mean words. I think it's okay. Mean-spirited.
Well, okay. No, so we're going to have a debate in Thursday's.
It is mean-spirited, Helen.
And Thursday's live stream. Helen just called you stupid.
Helen, go get some better help.
We're gonna have a debate in Thursday's live stream about the usage of words like that. We're gonna talk about that. This is gonna be like
my house. We can't use mean-spirited words.
Interesting.
I know. I don't know.
Well, my philosophy, and we're gonna get into this on the live stream, is that you have the same feelings. All you're gonna do is switch the word up. So what's the difference?
Nope.
Tomorrow, what?
Save it. Okay. All right.
Save it for the live stream.
All right. We gotta say goodbye. Nobody wants to hear. Voices
Thank
anymore.
You to our sponsor, Sweaty Betty, and all you Patreons, Peg and Jessica, for helping us make the show a possibility. We really thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Meg and Jessica. We love you. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Ooh, that was an intro.
It was weird. Alrighty then.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.